And we're holding on to stomach eight on the beige, five lines from the bottom. Remember yesterday, the Mishnah had said that one of the differences between an Ola Sa'oif and a Hata Sa'oif is that, that by an Ola Sa'oif, you have to separate the head from the body. We talked about, does that mean physically separating them, as the Rambam says? Does it just mean cutting through both simonim? As Rashi says, in any case, there has to be more of a separation. But the Hata Sa'oif, we said, on the contrary, the Pasuk says that, that he should not separate them, which means, again, he cuts through one simon, or maybe he cuts through both, but he cuts through one simon, and he doesn't actually divide the head from the body. Now, we said that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon holds, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says, Shamaiti, I heard from my Rabbein, Shemav given the Hata Sa'oif, that you can divide the head from the body by the Hata Sa'oif. So now the Gemara had gone through a couple of possibilities, given that we know a Chata Sa'oif and an Ola Sa'oif have to be have several differences between them. We're going to start talking about at the beginning of the coming parak that you have to make certain distinctions in the Avodah between them, otherwise it becomes fossil. So then what is the, so we talked about what is the crux of Machloikas between Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. So the Gemara had brought so far three possibilities: Rav Chista, Rava, or Rabba, and Abaya. All of them are taking it as a given that Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon agrees that there has to be some kind of distinction between a Chata Sa'oif and an Ola Sa'oif. The question is whether the distinction can be made in some other way, and therefore it's fine to do the Havdalah. And in that sense, the Chatas and the Ola will be the same, and that's fine because you do something else to make them distinct. So we have Rav Chista saying that the difference is whether by a Chatas you have to do Mitzuri, whether you have to, besides that you squeeze the blood out of the bird's body from a distance towards the Mizbeach's wall, you also press it against the Mizbeach's wall, which is the exclusive thing that's done with an Ola. With an Ola, you have only Mitzuri. With a Chatas, you have Hazah and Mitzuri. So the question is, do you in fact have to do the Mitzuri? So the Tanakhama holds that, the Tanakhama holds that you do need to do it by a Chatas. And since you need to do them both by a Chatas and an Ola, then they're going to be the same unless you make a difference by Havdalah. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon holds that it's not so necessary to do it by a Chatas, so therefore go ahead and cut the second simon, it's not considered doing what's done to an Ola, and instead doing it to a Chatas, because the difference is that with an Ola, you have to do Mitzuri, and with Chatas, you don't. That was the first answer. Then we have Rava saying the difference about Shehiyah, if you delayed between doing the one Simon and the second one, whether it's Ma'akiv or not, would be the crux of the Machloikas. And Abaye says, as far as cutting through most of the muscles of the neck, between the simonim. So again, all those three opinions presuppose that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon does agree with the concept that there has to be a difference between the Ola Sa'oif and the Chata Sa'oif, and the question is only, is there something else that we can do or not do, as the case may be, to make that distinction. So now the Gemara is going to give another answer which rejects that whole premise that Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon says that there has to be a difference. According to him, it would be fine for them to be, they still has to be, or one's done having in mind that it's a Chatas, one's done that it's having in mind that it's an Ola, and there's going to be differences, but as far as this particular detail of Havdalah, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon can well hold, according to this fourth opinion that we're going to have now, that it's not necessary for there to be any distinction. We talked about yesterday, there's a Tosfos over here that discusses at length and explains somewhat differently that up until now, the Gemara has been assuming that specifically the whole question, the whole machlokas, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, is specifically if he did Hazah already, and now the question is what he does after the Hazah if he cuts through the second simon. And now we're going to be saying that never mind that, Rav Chista, Rabba, and Abaya are all taking it as a given that if he were to cut through the second simon before the Hazah, before the squirting of the blood, then even Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon would agree that's possible. So now Rav Yirmiyah is going to come and say, not so, Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon would allow it even before the Hazah. So the Gemara says, Amru Kamei de Rav Yirmiyah. They told over this discussion to Rav Yirmiyah and the three opinions so far, Rav Chista, Rava, or Rabba, and Abaya. Omar, and he says, Lo Shmiel, who had the Amr of Shimon Yakim, Nishum Rabbi Elazar ben Pidos, Nishum Rabbi Elazar ben Shamra. Have they not heard of what was said by the chain of Chachamim, Reb Shimon ben Oyakim, in the name of Reb Elazar ben Pedas, in the name of Reb Elazar ben Shamua? Mishum, by the way, usually means that he didn't actually see him in person. He just heard it, that it was in his name. And certainly here we have, I don't know about Reb Shimon ben Oyakim, but Reb Elazar ben Pedas is an Amora, a Talmud of Reb Yechanan. Reb Elazar ben Shamua was a Tanna. He was one of the Asar Adol Gemalchus. So he's a few generations before Reb Elazar ben Pedas. There's no way that Reb Elazar ben Pedas could have heard directly from Reb Elazar ben Shamua. Or it means that he heard from his Rebbe and throws in a chain back to Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. Anyway, they say, Oimo Hoy Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon used to say, like we said in the Braisa, that I've heard from my Rabbeim that you could do have Dola, that you could cut through both the Simonim when it comes to Machatas Oif. Umay Lo Yavdil, and then what does Lo Yavdil mean? This means in Sorech Lahavdil, he doesn't have to divide it. So therefore, if he does divide it, if he does cut through the both simanim, it's not considered a shinui that would make the korban possible. So again, according to Rashi, Rabbi Yumi is saying, based on this explanation, we have a new understanding under the laws of Shimon. Up till now, we assume that he agrees that it has to be somehow different than the maisa of it, the actions of it have to somehow be different than the ola. And the only question is, how can we do that? And now we're saying it doesn't even need to be. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is fine if it's the same. According to Tosfos, the vote is that up until now, we've been talking about that the Havdalah, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, would have to be done, if anything, only after the Hazar. And now we're saying that even before the Hazar, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon would be fine with it. Okay, so in short, he's saying that when the Pasuk says Lo Yavdil, it doesn't mean he shall not divide, it means he need not divide. In other words, the law, sometimes a law in a pasuk doesn't mean you can't do such and such. It means you don't have to do such and such. Sometimes the Rambam discusses this in one of the Shoshim of Sefer HaMitzvot, and he explains that in Lashon Kodesh, the same word loy can be used for do not, and it can also be used for is not necessary or just is not. Sometimes you can say, this is loy that. It doesn't mean saying not to do that. It means it is not this. So the Rambam explains over there that many times you have to tell it by context, so you have to tell it by other references, as in fact the Gemara is going to do over here to explain why Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon wants to understand the word lo yavdil that way. And then the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam on certain points of that, and the Noisa Kalim and then the Noisa Kalim over there, in particular Megillas Esther on Sefer HaMitzvah, defend the Rambam and so on and so forth. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Acha Bridger Rav Lo Rav Ashi. Elamei Ata. By that logic, if you're telling me that Lo Yavdil can mean, according to Rav Elazar ben Shimon, according to this understanding of Rav Elazar ben Shimon, can mean not, he may not divide it, but he need not divide it. Well, Elamei Ata, Gabi Bur. What happens when it comes to a Bur, a person digs a pit in Rishos HaRabim, Dichtiv, in his own Rishos, and it's open to Rishos HaRabim, whatever all the various cases that are discussed in Baba Kama, Dichtiv, Lo Yichasenu, and the Pasuk says he doesn't cover it, and then if an animal falls in there, then he's chayev for the damages. Are you going to say the lo yichasenu means not that he need not cut, not that he's not allowed to? Are you going to say that the lo yichasenu means that he doesn't have to cover it? The same way as you're saying over here that lo yavdil means he does not have to divide it, but he could if he wants to, and it's optional. Does it mean over there it's optional as well? Tosfos points out. I mean, there are many lavim in the Torah that are phrased with loy. But here the Gemara is not asking that, because then, sure, why else would it need to say? Why would it need to say Lois Saxon Shobadishoy or Lois Sochel Kol Nevela or various other examples that Tosfos brings? But here, a Svara would tell you that you should divide it, because you want to get out the blood, you want to squeeze out and squirt out as much blood as possible to the Mizbeach, so you would have a logical reason to think that you should divide that you should cut through both Simonin, and therefore Satoda is telling you Lo Yavdil, maybe it's meant to say that you don't need to. And similarly by the burr also, a svara would tell you, you dig a burr, you have to cover it. So now when it says Lo Yichasenu, conceivably it could mean you don't have to cover it. So that's the question. In other words, that now, if Lo Yavdil means he doesn't have to, then maybe by a burr, it also means, even though you would have thought logically that he has to cover it, in fact, he does not. So given that by a burr, we don't say that, why by Havdalah, why by this Lo Yavdil should we say that? So the Gemara answers, Hochi Hashta, how do you think to compare? Hossam Kim Nichtib Bala Bur Yishalim. The Torah continues that the owner of the bur has to pay. So therefore, Ilovei, who did Romi, Lachasui. Obviously, the Torah is telling us that he has a responsibility to cover it. And if not, then he has to pay. Aval Hocha, but over here, Mechti Ksiv Vehikrivoi, the Pasuk already says that he has to, that says by an Ola Sa'oif, that he has to bring it close to the Mizbeach. And Rashi points out that the Gemara in Cholin says that Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon learns from that word behikrivoi that he has to that we said before that you have to divide the Ola Sa'if. It doesn't actually say explicitly in the pasuk, but Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon learns it from the word behikrivoi. Now he does not doubt. Now earlier on Daf Samachay we had a drasha, we had a brisa that said. That how do we know? So a brisa earlier would say, how do we know by an ola sa'if you have to separate the head from the body? Is because the pasuk said when umolach vehikter, and it talks about that you have to burn the head separately and the body separately. So obviously then that means that you have to separate them. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon doesn't hold of that drasha, says Rashi. So he needs a different source to say that you divide the head from the body by an ola, and that word is vehikrivoi that it says by the ola. In fact, as we learned in the Gemara yesterday, he doesn't even hold that you need to cut through the entire simen the same way as by shchita. It's enough to cut through most of the simen. He would say the same thing by melika. It's enough to cut through most of the simen, to cut through most of the simen. So now, given that the Torah tells us that by the oath, by the bird, and we see chilek hakosim ben chata sa'if la ola sa'if, and the Torah is clearly making a distinction and saying v'hikrivoi only by the ola do you have this, not by the chatas. So therefore, why would it need to then say by the chatas that he should not divide it? If we already learn from the oila, the oila is separated and the chatas is different, then automatically that means the chatas, you're not going to divide it. So lomali, why would you need that? Shmamina, ein sorach lahavdo. So Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon would say, therefore, that this shows that it means that here it doesn't mean you must not, it means you don't need to. But if you want to, then go right ahead. So Rashi goes on with a lashon over here to explain exactly the different nusach in Rashi, that because again, since it says v'ikrivoi, and that teaches us that there's a difference between the ola and the chatas, so that means again lo yavdo can't mean don't divide it by the chatas, because there'd be no reason to say that, so it means you don't have to. The Rambam mentions in Sefer HaMitzvahs over there in the Shoshim, he explained that that's just it. The Tanakama, the Chachamim hold that the Chachamim hold exactly that. Lo Yavdo means like most lawyers in the Torah means do not. So fine, the Lo Yechasenu, who he's going to have to agree, means that he did not. Not that he doesn't have to, but rather that he did not do it, and therefore he's chayev. As the Gemara says, the very fact that it says that he's chayev implies that he has a responsibility to cover it. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. So they would hold that it's a lav like any other lav. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says that. From context you can see again, since we're seeing that since by the Ola Sa'if it says according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon that you have to be mavdol, so there'd be no reason to mention it by a chatas except to say that you don't need to. The Rambam goes on to say the same way, for example, as by the Ola Sa'if. We talked about that after he's finished with the melika and after he finishes burning the head, then he takes the body, cuts out the mur of a notza, as we learned yesterday, and then the pasuk says, v'shisa oisi b'chnof of lo yavdo, he tears it by its wings, he tears the body more or less in half, but he does not divide it. There for sure, lo yavdo means that in hivdo kosher, because then everybody agrees there, as we learned yesterday, that it means that even if he did break it in half, it's still kosher. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is going to say the same way, lo yavdo by the chatas also means that you don't have to, but you could if you want to. So according to that way of understanding, then it doesn't matter whether he was mavdol by the chatas or not, even if that means that in that sense he's doing it like an ola, it's still fine as long as there are other differences, as long as he does it l'shem chatas or l'shem ola respectively, then Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon doesn't care whether the procedures are basically the same. You also have, of course, the blood itself is going to be sprinkled in different places, is going to be applied to the mizbeach in different places, the top half and the bottom half. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is not arguing with that. And then the last words of the Gemara, Shema Mina Ein Tzarech LaHavdil, Rashi explains, Achronim explain within what Rashi, the long Lashon that Rashi is saying over here, that the point is that this is not just explaining what Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon is saying, but how does Rabbi Yumia learn that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon understands it that way? Because once the Torah tells us that once we can see again by comparing with the other psukim that it means you don't have to be mavdo, then therefore it means, in other words, so it's not an isser, it's only a statement that you don't have to. The Mishnah had said mitzah dam haguf, that if he pressed out the blood of the body of the oila onto the mizbeach, but not the blood from the head, then it's kosher, but not the other way around. So the Gemara says oila, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa, when it says oila, so an extra word oila that it says by oila sa oif, at the end of the psukim there it says oila hi, oila hu, so we darshin, so we have the word oila, which is a ribui, which would mean no matter what it's an oila, but you have the word hu, which is a miut. That means that it's only when it's a certain way that it's supposed to be. So what does that mean? Oila afbich mitzvah damar gufala mitzvah damar rosh. It's considered an oila even if he only squeezed out the blood of the body, but not the blood of the head. So nevertheless, it's still considered an oila. It's still kosher. Yochol mitzvah damar rosh for the mitzvah damar guf. You would think the same thing should be the other way around. If he pressed out the blood of the head, but not the blood of the body. Therefore, the pasuk says who, which is a meal, to find that in this kind of case it would be no good. So the question is my Talmud. How are we learning that exactly? How are we saying, why are we saying that Ola includes the body and who excludes the head and not the other way around? And the answer is Amar Avinu Mistabra Deroy Gamma but Guf Chif. It's logical, since most of the blood in a bird or any creature is going to be found in the body rather than in the head, it's more logical that if the Torah is telling you have to do at least one of them, and if you did only one of them, then it's kosher, it's more logical that that one is going to be the goof rather than the head. Hadron alok kodshah kodshim. The next parak is continuing to deal with chatas ha'oif, but here, now that we talked about the procedures that you're supposed to do with chatas ha'oif, now let's talk about what happens if he did something different with it. If he changed some of the procedures, when is it going to be possible and when not? And then we're also going to then we're going to segue into the matter of a bird being the tame, the beis habliya. Now we have like this, the Torah said like this, normally most kinds of tumma in the Torah involve a person touches it, a person carries it even without touching. In the case of tumma semes, it can also be under the same roof as it, or be overshadowing it, or it's overshadowing him. When it comes to, where the Torah tells us a unique thing when it comes to a bird, to a dead kosher bird, nivlas oif toher, that a person becomes tumme when he swallows it. The moment he swallows it, he becomes tumme, and the clothing that he's wearing or anything else that he's touching at that moment also becomes tumme. Now, malika that we've been talking about all this time by a bird korban is not shchita. If you did that by a chulin bird, it would make it nevela. When it comes to a korban, the Torah tells us specifically that's the way how to do it. And as we learned with a chatas, even though with a chatas, the kohenim actually eat it, which in effect means that they're eating nevela, but it's a special heter from the Torah. But now we have to discuss in the various cases where bird korban is possible, in what cases are we going to say that the malika nevertheless rendered it a nevela, and therefore that if a person now swallows it, he's going to become tame and whatnot. That's going to be another subject of our time. So the Mishnah says, chatas ha'oif sha'asol b'mata k'maisei chatas ha'shem chatas. A chatas ha'oif that he did below the line, below the red line on his back, on the lower half, k'maisei chatas, and he did it like the way the chatas is supposed to be done, cutting through only one simen and then squirting the blood from a distance to the wall of the mizbeach and then pressing out the rest of the blood from the body. So l'shem chatas, and he has in mind that it's for the sake of a chatas k'shera, then it's kosher. Now there's not much chiddush in that, and not only it's kosher, that is the proper way to do it. The reason we're mentioning that is. Mainly in order to, because we're going to mention other cases where he changed one or another of these things. So therefore the Mishnah is sort of doing it by way of introduction to the other ones. We'll talk about in the Gemara a different reason why the Mishnah does this. A part of the question is only not part of the question is not just why the Mishnah does this, why the Mishnah mentions this case. Fine, you could say it by introduction, but why is it doing it? Why is it saying it in Lashon B'di'evad? She'asa'a, that he did it in prime. He should have done it a different way. The B'di'evad, he ended up doing it this way. So we'll talk about it on the base. That's the shame. Another reason why the Mishnah phrases it that way. Okay. On the other hand, on the other hand, if he did it the way a chatas is supposed to be done, so the actual actions were done. One point is actually the Rambam makes a point also that it can mean. For example, we learned in the previous parak about the way that the kohen is supposed to hold the bird while he's doing the malika. So that kind of thing. If he does something different, if he holds it, if he doesn't put the wings between these particular fingers and the legs between these particular fingers, and he doesn't do it on the inside of his palm or the outside of his hand, according to the different opinions over there, then the Mishnah is still saying that it's kosher because those things are not ma'akev. So that would be another reason why the Mishnah is mentioning that. Now, to Maisik Chathos L'Shem Ola, however, if he does it like the way a Chathos is supposed to be done, one Simen and Hazah and so forth, however, L'Shem Ola, but he has in mind that it's an Ola. Well, that's Shinei Hashem, and as we've learned before, a Chathos with Shinei Hashem is possible. Or, to Maisik Ola L'Shem Chathos, we did it like an Ola is done, and we'll see in the Gemara exactly what was changed, what exactly he did to make it like an Ola. This is also going to relate back to this machlokas of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim that we were just discussing before. Anyway, so he did it like the actions of an Ola, l'shem chatas, but he had in mind that it was a chatas. So now he didn't change the shame, but he did change the avodas somehow, as we'll see. Or Kamaisa Ola, the Shem Ola, or he did it the way that an Ola is, the actions of an Ola, and he has in mind that it's an Ola, Psula, then it's possible because it has to be done, L'Shem Chatas, and it has to be done with all the correct actions of a Chatas. Asal, the Maisa, Kamaisa Kula, and furthermore, if he did it on the top half of the Mizbeach, and he did it like any of the ones that we said so far, even if he did it, Kamaisa Chatas, L'Shem Chatas, so all the Maisa was correct, and the Machshava was correct, but he did it on the top half of the Mizbeach, instead of the bottom half, Psula, then it's also going to be possible because the Hazah of the Chatas has to be done on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, which we talked about in the previous Tereth a little bit. What happens as far as the mitzui? First of all, we said there are opinions that the mitzui is not even ma'akev, but even if it is, does it have to be done on the? Does it also have to be done on the bottom half, or could it actually be done on the top half, and that would be fine? Now, Tosfos learns that even though we're saying that it's psula, where it was done lamaila, Tosfos explains that actually the owner will have been the scatter. The owner has now been yotze, because we learned earlier in the Masechta about the concept of. We had an opinion of Shmuel over there that said that even if blood is placed on the wrong place of the Mizbeach, the owner is still Miskaper. So according to that, then Tosfos says the same thing would apply over here, and the owner would have been yotze the korban, just that it was done wrongly. The korban itself is possible, and therefore you wouldn't be able to eat it as you would normally eat a chatas. On the other hand, Shittim Kovetzah says maybe not. Maybe that applies only to animal korbanos. Maybe it doesn't apply to brood korbanos because the pasuk that the Gemara had quoted in that connection on Daf Chavav when we discussed Shmuel's opinion, the pasuk that the Gemara had quoted is about an animal korban, not about a brood korban. So maybe then by a brood it would in fact be different, and it would be when we say psula over here, it means the owner is not even yotze. Now the other way around. When he does the malika and the application of the blood on the top half of the mizbeach to maisa ola, and he does it like the way an ola is supposed to do be done. Which again, an ola we said both simonim and mitzui and not hazar, just mitzui. So he does that to maisa ola, like the actions of an ola, l'shem ola, having in mind that it's an ola, sheira, that it's kosher. Again, it's not necessarily a chiddush. On the surface, the Gemara is just mentioning it because on the surface, the Gemara is just mentioning it. The Mishnah is just mentioning it as an introduction to the other cases. Again, it can mean, as the Rambam says also, that even if he did other things differently, for example, how he holds it, then it would still be kosher. And again, we'll talk about on Amud Bey's another possibility why the Mishnah might be doing that, and why it phrases it in the B'di'evid way. On the other hand, Gemaisa Ola L'shem Chatas, but if he did it like the actions of an Ola, but he had in mind the Chatas, then it's also Kshera. Then, unlike with a Chatas, where we said Shini Hashem passels it, with an Ola, Shini Hashem doesn't passel it, but it's still kosher, or actually also the Balda, but it doesn't count for the owner, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. Gemaisa Chatas L'shem Ola, on the other hand, if he did it like the actions of a Chatas, and we'll see again in the Gemara on Amud Beis what exactly he did differently than what he was supposed to do. And he did L'shem Ola, having in mind still that it's an Ola, but he did the procedure wrong. Or he did the procedure of a Chatas, and he had in mind that it was a Chatas. Sula, then it will be possible. Because he did differently than he did differently than he's supposed to do by an Ola, as we'll see in the Gemara. I saw the Matah, Maisa Kulan. And if he does it on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, no matter which of these things he did, whether he did the actions correct and the thought correct or not, either way, psula, then it'll be possible because the blood of an Ola Sa'oif is supposed to go on the top half of the Mizbeach. Tosfos, actually, on the previous Omud, wonders where exactly we get that by an Ola, the various details by an Ola Sa'oif, that they're ma'akiv. If they're done differently, Tosfos says, I don't really know where we learn from that they should be ma'akiv. That you're supposed to do them, sure, but that they should be ma'akiv in the case of an Ola Sa'oif, in particular when we're talking about an Ola Sa'oif, and you did it on the bottom half, why should it be possible? But the other Tosfos says, I don't know where we get that from. No. Okay. So the Gemara starts out. Dishani b'mai. In the first case, in the case where we're talking about that he was bringing a chatas, and he did one of the procedures, and he did the procedures like an Ola. So the Shani B'mai, what exactly did he change? He landed the Shani B'malika. Do you mean that he changed the Malika, whereby an Ola Sa'oif is supposed to be one simen, and by the Chatas Sa'oif it's supposed to be two? So the question with that is, name of the Loikur Rabbalaz Reb Shimon. Does that mean that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, the Omar, where he said, as we learned at the end of the previous class, Shemaiti Shemabdilim v'chatas oif, I heard from my Rebbeim that you can divide, that you can separate the two simonim when it comes to a chatas oif, and it's not a problem. And now the Mishnah is saying that, and now the Mishnah implicitly is saying that it's a problem. So does that mean that our Mishnah would not go like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon? So the Gemara said, so what's the problem? Yeah, sure, it's not. The lawyer couldn't have the laws of Rav Shimon. Why not? We already said that the end of the previous perek was said Yehivdo B'chatas Fossil was not like Rav laws of Rav Shimon. So fine, that Mishnah wasn't like Rav laws of Rav Shimon. This Mishnah doesn't have to be either. It's true we would like Mishnayas to be like all of the Tanoim, but nevertheless, sometimes we have to say that not. And we clearly said at the end of the previous perek that the Mishnah at the end of the previous perek was not like Rav laws of Rav Shimon. So what's the problem with our Mishnah being the same thing? So the Gemara answers back, no, because not necessarily do we have to say that. Loi, no, because our Mishnah, you could even make work like Rav Elazar ben Shimon, the Shani Bahazah, because you could be talking about, not that he did a difference as far as the Malika. Rav Elazar ben Shimon will hold that about Malika. It doesn't matter if he did it differently, it's still kosher. But he'll say that when it says in our Mishnah that he did that he did kemaisit chatas l'shem oila or kemaisa oila l'shem chatas and in the different parts of the Mishnah, then it will mean that he did a difference as far as the hazah, that instead of doing in the case of an oila it's supposed to be only mitzvah, squeezing out the blood against the wall of the mizbeach. In the case of a chatas, it's supposed to be hazah, squirting it from a distance, and then mitzvah, and then mitzvah. So we'd be talking about that he did the hazah differently. The chatas is supposed to be done hazah. He does only mitzvah. First this discusses at the end of the previous parak Tosfos explained earlier that explained at the end of the previous parak that even Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon allows there to be a difference, allows you to cut through the second simon only after the hazah. But here we seem to be saying that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says Mabdilin b'chatas ha'oif, but according to Tosfos' explanation, it would come out that even he would agree that sometimes it's possible if that was done before hazah. Tosfos says first of all, again, we had Rabbi Yumi's opinion based on a chain of earlier Tanoim that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon doesn't care, as we learned there. But besides that, even according to the first three answers and the previous Perek, nevertheless, since the Mishnah itself does not distinguish between before Hazah and after Hazah, then it implies that we're talking about even after Hazah, and the Mishnah is saying it's no good, whereas according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, at least in that case, it would be fine. So it's an interesting point that the Gemara is doing this over here. That the Gemara starts by saying the Mishnah is not like Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon, and then it kind of tries to force the issue to make the Mishnah work according to Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon. It's a little unusual for the Gemara to do that kind of thing. Let's learn through the next few lines. So right now we're saying we could make the Mishnah work like Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. Whether it does in the end, let's get back to that in a few lines. So the Gemara says, Hachinami Mistabra. In fact, it's logical that the Mishnah is talking about a difference in the Hazar rather than a difference in the Melitta. Mitkotani Sefer, because the Mishnah continues, Asol L'mailach Maisa Kolon, that if he did the Chatos on the top half of the Mizbeach, and he did, like any of the things, or like anything, any of the cases mentioned before in the Mishnah, he did Kamaisa Ola, or Kamaisa Chatos, or Kamaisa Ola, having in mind it's an Ola, Kamaisa Ola, having in mind that it's the same Chatos, etc. So all those cases, so we said Psula, because it's on the top half of Mizbeach. Now, Afilu Kamaisa Chatos, the same Chatos, that would mean, even if he followed the procedures of the Chatos, and he had in mind that it was a Chatos, but he did the blood application to the wrong half of the Mizbeach, to the top half, instead of the bottom half. So now, we have to ask, again there, the Shani B'mai, in that case, if he had done Kamaisa Chatos, the same Chatos, what would be the distinction? What did he do differently that makes it Kamaisa Chatos versus Kamaisa Ola? Elaimed the Shani B'malika, if you mean that he did the Malika differently, two Simonim rather than one, then what's the problem? The Malika of a Chatos can be done anywhere on the Mizbeach, so there's no reason. So when we say that if he did it on the top half of Asar, we said if he did it, So Asar doesn't necessarily mean the blood. Asar can mean the whole procedure. So if he does the whole procedure on the top half of the Mizbeach, even if it was Kamaise Chatas, and even if it was L'shem Chatas, it's going to be possible. But why? We said before, Malika of a Chatas can be done anywhere on the Mizbeach, or maybe even other places in the Hazara. El Alav Deshani B'Hazar. Obviously, that part of the Mishnah must mean that he made a change in the Hazar and did it on the top half of the Mizbeach, and that's the only thing that he did differently. Umi the Sefer Bazar, Reish Nami Bazar. Well, given that, then, if the Sefer is talking about that he made a difference in Hazar and applied the blood in the wrong place, that would mean that the Reish also has to mean that the difference was not in the Malika, but rather in the Hazar, and that would allow our Mishnah to be like Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. The Muslims need the area. What kind of a proof is that? Hokkadisa. But Hokkadisa, each one is talking about in its own way. Each one, whatever is considered a shinui. In the ratio, we're talking about a shinui of Mysim, so it may well be referring to Malika. In the Sefer, obviously you're right. Malika in a different part of the Mizbeach by a Chatas is not going to be a problem, so therefore necessarily there it has to refer to Hazar. So not necessarily are the two halves of the Mishnah talking about the exact same case. Each one is talking about a shinui that's relevant in that part of the Mishnah. So in the end, is the Mishnah like Reb Elazar Reb Shimon? The Rambam and the Bar Kinura and the Mishnah seem to imply that yes, and they explain when we talked about that if the Chatos was done when it was done Shasol Mata, the Mishnah had started off that he did it on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, Kamaisi Chatos, Hashem Chatos, and he did it according to the actions of a Chatos and for the sake of a Chatos, then it's Kshera, and we said on Omer Aleph, the question is, well, why do we need to say it's Kosher? What else would we think? That is the proper way to do an Ola. And they're saying because it means that even if it did have dollar, nevertheless it'll still be kosher. That as long as shasah, even though he did it, and we're saying that shasah can include also even though he did kamaisik chatos, but he did have dollar, nevertheless it would still be kosher, and that would be the only point to the laws of Reb Shimon. So therefore it comes out according to them that yes, the Gemara does stick with its proof that our Mishnah is in fact according to the laws of Reb Shimon, and that the Mishnah is saying that even if he does have dollar by a chatas oif, it'll be kosher, it'll still be kosher. Because again, who said Shammai Tishim Abdullah Bachatas oif, that he has the option whether to do that or not. Tosfos Yomtov has a bunch of questions on that and says that no, actually the Mishnah is not according to the laws of Reb Shimon, and this is why we said that Tosfos have said that the Mishnah just says it as an introduction to the other cases. It's not saying it to teach us any new chiddush, because it's going to mention all the other cases where something was changed, so it starts with a case where nothing was changed. Anyhow, further on, Lakote Ma'arich in the Mishnah points out that in that case, then still, why does it say B'dieved? So you could say, okay, that's fine. You could say B'dieved because again, it's to be parallel with all the other cases in the Mishnah. So in short, we have two different ways of understanding among the Mefarshim, where the Gemara has brought over here the possibility that our Mishnah goes like Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon, or that it has not, or that it does not. Which one does the Gemara leave us with, according to the Rambam and according to the Baruch Noda? Apparently it leaves us with that it is according to Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon, and that the Mishnah is saying that by a Chatas, even if he did have Dala, it is still kosher, whereas according to Tosfos, and according to Tosfos, and the Tosfos Yamdiv, it would be that not. And again, that's our Mishnah is like the Chachamim specifically. And you're right, Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon would disagree and say that if he did have dollar, it's kosher, but the Chachamim would disagree and say that it's fossil. Next, the Mishnah had said Ola Sa'oif Ola. Then we have the case of an Ola Sa'oif, and we have the various possible variations with that as far as whether he did it. There's an Ola Sa'oif who said it's done on the top half and it was there, and if he did it on the bottom half, it'll be possible. If he does it for Shem Chatas, it'll be kosher, but the owner's not Yotze, and so forth, all the cases that we talked about in the Mishnah. So again, the Mishnah had said that if he changed it and did Kamaise Chatas, then it'll be possible. So again, we have to ask the Shani B'mai, what change did he make that he did the Ola differently than he should have? Elaim it a shani b'malika. Does it mean that he did the malika differently instead of doing two simanim, which he has to do by an ola sa'oif? He did only one, like a chatas. The problem is midkatani sefer. But the problem is that since the sefer, the next mishnah continues kulan ein matamin bebeis habliya. All the cases that were just mentioned in our Mishnah, all of them, even though the korban is possible for one reason or another, all the cases in our Mishnah where the korban is possible, nevertheless, if a person swallows it, then it does not matame. And when he swallows it, molin behen, and the Mishnah continues, that me'ila will still apply to it, because the general rule is when it comes to an ola, me'ila applies right away, and it applies right away because it's all legavoya, it all goes to Hashem, it's all burnt on the mizbeach. A chatas, on the other hand, once the blood is put on the mizbeach, there's nothing more of it that goes to Hashem, and at that point Me'ila goes away. Now our Mishnah says that Me'ila applies to the dinim of Me'ila apply to all the cases of our Mishnah because they're all posel and there was never any shas heter. There was never a time when they became mutter for the kohenim to eat. And therefore, we're saying Me'ila still applies. The problem with that is, if we're going to say then that the Mishnah is talking about in the case of an Ola, again, where he did Kemaise Chatas, means that he did the Malika differently, then if we're saying that Me'ila still applies, the problem is, name of the Lord of Yeshua. Then would we have to say that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yeshua, who's going to say in the next Mishnah. The E Rabbi Yeshua, if our Mishnah was like Rabbi Yeshua, Ha'amah Ein Merlin, he says in the next Mishnah that some of these cases Me'ila does not apply. Namely, that you can have a case in the next Mishnah. We're going to say that he did an Ola Sa'oif, and he did it Lamata, he did it on the bottom half, which is where a Chatas is supposed to be, and it was Kemaisa Chatas, and it was Lashem Chatas. Rabbi Yeshua says, since basically at this point it's been done like a Chatas, even though it was supposed to be an Ola originally, then therefore Me'ila goes away from me. But our Mishnah is saying that not. Our Mishnah is mentioning all the possible cases, including where he did Lamata on the bottom half, Kemaisa Chatas Hashem Chatas. And we said that in that case he does Psula and I saw Lamata, and if in addition he does it Lamata, then it's also possible. And the beginning of the next Mishnah says that Me'ila still applies, but Rabbi Yeshua in the continuation of that Mishnah says that Me'ila wouldn't apply in that case. So we can't say that the difference is as far as the Malika was done one simon or two, because then it wouldn't fit with Rabbi Yeshua's opinion, and again we would like the Mishnah to follow all the Tanoim as much as possible. So the Gemara says, Ema Sefer, fine, but if you're going to argue, so Elba Mitzui, so are you going to say then that our Mishnah is talking about that he did a change in the Mitzui, instead of doing like the Ola is supposed to be done, where he just presses the body of the bird against the Mizbeach, instead he squirts it out from a distance like the Chatas? The question with that is, Ema Sefer, then look at the Sefer at the next Mishnah, Ola Sa'oif Sha'asol Lamata Kamaisa Chatas Hashem Chatas, where he does an Ola Sa'oif, and he does on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, and follows the procedures of a Chatas, and does it Lashem Chatas. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Merlin Ba, Rabbi Shua Omer Ein Merlin Ba, and again, Rabbi Eliezer says that Me'ilah will still apply and Rabbi Yeshua does not. So again, we have to ask the Shani B'mai, what would be the case in that next Mishnah where he made a difference as to where he did it, where he did the Ola Sari differently than he should have. Ilema B'mitzui, does it mean like what's trying to say now, that it means that he did the Mitzui differently, that instead of, that he did Hazar rather than Mitzui? The problem is, Ema D'Om Rabbi Yeshua, D'Shani B'malikta. But you know what? Where is Rabbi Yeshua saying, in the next Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua is saying Me'ilah wouldn't apply, is where he made a difference in the Malikta. The Mitzui Mi Omar. What about if he did the Malika like, if he did the Malika like a, like an Ola, and only did the Mitzui, only did the squirting out, like a Chatas Mi Omar? Would he say then that Mi'ila does not apply? It still should apply, because, it's one thing when he does the Malika differently, then basically, it never had a chance to be an Ola. It was treated as a Chatas from beginning to end. But here, where at least the Malika was done like an Ola, then he would have to agree. And Me'ilah still applies, because it started out as an Ola, and a procedure was done to it like an Ola, namely the Malika of the type of an Ola, with both Simonim cut through, and then he started doing like a Hatas, and Rabbi Yeshua should agree that Me'ilah still applies in that case. And yet the Mishnah is saying that if he did, L'mata, K'maisa Hatas, Hashem Hatas, then Ein Moilim Ba. So what are you going to say? Reisha, the Sefer B'Malika. Are you going to say the Reisha on Mishnah, when it talks about Chatas Arif, and the Sefer, the next Mishnah, are talking about a change in Malika, because we're going to say before, we said before that the Gemara had said that the Reisha of on Mishnah is referring to a change in Malika, and we said was not like Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. The Sefer and the next Mishnah is also going to be about a change in Malika. And the middle part, the end of our Mishnah, is going to talk about where he made a difference in Mitzui. And the answer is yes. Yes, you could very well say that the Reisha and the Sefer are talking about that he did a change in Malika, and the middle part, or the end of our Mishnah, is talking about Mitzui, and it's fine. So in short, in other words, what we end up with is that So as follows, when in our Mishnah then, when we said Chatas Ha'oif, that if he did Kamaisa Oila L'Shem Oila, or Kamaisa Oila L'Shem Chatas, it will mean that he made a change in the, that he made a change in the Malika, and not like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, who says that it'll still be kosher in that case, but rather like the Chachamim, who say that it's kosher. But then when our Mishnah continued, in the case of an Oila, that he did an Oila, Kamaisa Chatas, it will mean that he did the Mitzui, that instead of squeezing it out on the wall of his bath, like he's supposed to, he instead squirted it from a difference, like he did, like from a distance, like he does by a chatas, and was saying psula, and that would be the case where we say that Me'ilah still applies. On the other hand, in the next Mishnah, when we have the Machlokas, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, then we're talking about where change was done in the Malika, and Rabbi Yeshua is going to say that with an Ola, if from the Malika and onward, if everything, including the Malika, was done like a Chatas, then it will be considered to that extent like a Chatas, and Me'ilah will go away. So that's how we'll understand the flow of the Mishnahs. So the Mishnah says, "V'chulin ein matamin bebeis abliya." All of these cases of the previous Mishnah, even the ones that are possible, that a person swallows them, he doesn't become tamei, because even though the korban became possible, nevertheless, because it started out with a proper malika, then therefore it loses the status of nevela. Eventually, the korban became possible for another reason, but nevertheless, it no longer has the status of nevela, and a person doesn't become tamei by swallowing it. Umoylan behem. So obviously the cases where it's kosher, but even the cases where it's possible. Umoylan behem, and Me'ilah will still apply to it. Me'ilah will still apply to it because it's an Ola or a Chatas which has not yet become kosher. Once it becomes kosher for the Kohenim to eat, then Me'ilah goes away, but we haven't reached that point. With the exception of we had two cases in the Mishnah where it's kosher, where a chatas was done completely like a chatas and l'shem chatas, and in the proper part of the mizbeach, and when an oila was done in the proper part of the mizbeach and l'shma and all of that, those are the two cases where it's fully kosher and it's the proper way to do it. But with an oila, Me'ilah will still apply, because Me'ilah still applies to an oila until it's burned. Whereas by a chatas, since once the blood is squeezed out, squirted out, squeezed out, then the rest of it goes to the kohenim, so then the ilah goes away. So chutz mechatasoid, shasol amakta, k'maisa chatas, so ten chatas, with the exception of a chatasoid, which was done with everything done correctly, where now it's kosher, now it's no longer subject to me'ilah, because now the kohenim are able to eat it, and because now the kohenim are able to eat it, and once the kohenim are able to eat it, then me'ilah no longer. Well, the Mishnah continues. Oyla sa'oiv shasol amakta k'maisa chatas. Suppose that he did an oyla sa'oiv on the bottom half of the mizbeach. So he did it. I mean, he did it on the bottom half of the mizbeach. So we learned in the previous parak from the melika of an oila has to be on the top half, and we said that the application of the blood has to be on the top half. But here he did it on the bottom half. K'maisa chatas, and he did it like the way a chatas is done. And as we just learned at the end of the previous gemara here, right before this mission, here we mean that he did the melika differently than he was supposed to. And he also did the hazar. He also sprinkled the blood. He also squirted the blood on the mizbeach like a chatas, and he does the same. And he does it for the sake of a chatas. So now he did everything like a chatas, but it was originally designated as an ola. Rabbi Eliezer says that me'ila will still continue to apply to it always. Rabbi Yeshua says that me'ila will not apply to him. Because because now, with everything having been done like a chatas, then in effect it turns into a chatas. At a chatos, again, where a chatos reaches a point where it's not subject to me'ila, and therefore Rabbi Yeshua says that at this point also it loses the status of me'ila. Omer Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi Eliezer says that I'll show you logically that it should still be subject to me'ila. Umayim chatos shein moilin bo l'shma, madach chatos, where if it's done l'shma, then me'ila no longer applies, because once the blood is applied to the mizbeach, then there's no more me'ila. And yet, kishineh shma moilin bo, but if he changes the designation and brings it as having in mind that it's an ola, then me'ila will apply to it, because it's fossil, and you, Rabbi Yeshua, agree to that. Ola shemoyin ba l'shma. Well, then an ola where me'ila always applies, even after it was done correctly, even after it was done with all the procedures correctly. Nevertheless, me'ila will still apply. So then, kishina shema. If he does it shaloi l'shma and makes it into a chatas and makes it possible ain't a din shemoyin ba. How much more so than me'ila should still continue to apply? So why are you, Rabbi Yeshua, saying that it shouldn't be like that? So, on the Lord of Yeshua, but Rabbi Yeshua answers him, Lord, that's not a valid Kalvachoymer. In Mamarke b'chatas, you know why by a chatas, if he did differently, that Me'ila continues to apply, to Shina Shema, the same Ola, because he changed its name, he changed its designation to an Ola. Well, an Ola, the Dover Shiesh Me'ila. That means that Shina Shema, the Dover Shiesh Me'ila. Well, that means that he changed it to something where Me'ila applies. Me'ila applies to an Ola, even after the blood is squirted because the rib is squeezed, because the rest of it is supposed to be burned on the mizbeach. So sure, a chatas that was done as an ola, then it's the ne'ilah still continues to apply, because an ola, the ne'ilah still applies. Tomar, the ola sheshina eshtemal l'shem chatas, Rabbi Yeshua says, how do you want to compare that to the other way around, an ola that was done having in mind that it's a chatas, shekin shina eshtemal, dover shein b'me'ilah, we've changed the designation of it to something to which ne'ilah doesn't apply, because ne'ilah doesn't apply to a chatas. So therefore, once the blood is applied to the mizbeach, then there's no more me'ilah. So therefore now, even though, yes, this bird was supposed to be an ola, and it becomes possible by being done as a chatas, nevertheless, the fact that it was done completely as a chatas from beginning to end, melika hazom, mitzui, the whole 9 yards, should be enough for us to consider it like a chatas to the extent that me'ilah doesn't apply. So therefore, so the Mishra says, so your Kavachoymer is flawed because you're not taking into consideration this point that an Ola and a Chatas are different in that one is subject to Me'ilah and one is not. So the Mishnah continues, Amalei Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer argues back to Rabbi Yeshua. I'll continue proving to you my point. Vare kodshe kodshim, consider animals of kodshe kodshim, oila, chatas, etc. Sheshachten badorim, if he shechted them in the south side, whereas we learned previously they have to be shechted on the north, and if not, then they're possible. Suppose that on top of that, he shechted them having in mind that they're kodshim kalim. So suppose you have an ola, which is supposed to be shechted in the north, and l'shem ola, and instead he shechted it in the south, having in mind that it's a shlomim. Yechichu. So prove from that. Shekin shinas shmom l'dava shein b'me'ila. By doing that, he's changed their designation to something to which me'ila doesn't apply, because if me'ila doesn't apply to a shlomim, me'ila applies only to the emurim of a shlomim. And yet Me'ilah will still apply, because because the korban became possible, because as an ola, it was supposed to be shechted in the northern side. The fact that he did the same shlomen is not going to pass it, because an ola is not one of the ones that possible shlomen the shema, but the fact that he did it on the south side will pass it. And me'ila will still apply. I, in effect, change it to a shlomen. Doesn't matter. You see that me'ila still applies. As atal tisma ala ola. Well then, says Rabbi Eliezer, so don't be surprised about an ola, even though he changed the designation to an ola sa'oif now, we're talking about. So now, don't be surprised by an ola sa'oif, that even though he changed the designation to something that doesn't have, to something to which me'ila doesn't apply, because he did the malika and the hazah and the mitzui and everything like a chatas, nevertheless, me'ila should still continue to apply because of its original status as an ola, even though all the procedures have been done like a chatas. The same way as he said, by an animal korban, by an oiler that was transformed, that was supposedly transformed into a shlomen. Although Rabbi Yeshua, but again Rabbi Yeshua answers Loi, that's still not a valid comparison. You know why? When it comes to kodshe kodshim, we shechted them in the south, and then shechted them, having in mind their kodshe kalim, that their kodshe kalim. The reason why it would still be considered to have the status of an ola and for me'ila to apply, because after all, then it means that ultimately there is something in them to which me'ila still continues to apply. Because a shlomim, you have the emurim, which are to be burnt on the mizbeach, then me'ila is still relevant to them. So there's still something in there to which me'ila applies, and therefore you can say that it applies across the board to the rest of the korban as well. Toma ba'ola, how do you compare to an ola sa'oif? Shashina shma the dover shakulei hetter, when he changes it to a chatas, when he does the malika and the hazah and all that, like a chatas, he's transforming it into something which is completely hetter, because there is no part of an ola sa'oif that is burnt on the mizbeach. So in that case, there's nothing for Me'ila to apply anymore, so there's nothing for Me'ila to apply to anymore, and therefore we can well say that Me'ila goes away. Tosfos discusses, actually, there's other Gemaras that talk about where he does a chatas of one kind for a different kind. You have there's various cases where a person has to bring a chafas oif. One of them is, for example, when a person has to bring a korban olah v'yored, versus, for example, when a woman gives birth. So it's still a chafas, but he has in mind it's a different type of chafas, and nevertheless, me'ila will still apply, even though it's possible. So then in that case, so Yeshua should say that even when there's something that's completely heter, as a chafas would be completely heter, because again, nothing is burnt on the mizbeach. Nevertheless, me'ila would apply, so maybe it should over here as well. So Tosfos explains that there's a couple of reasons why to distinguish between that case versus over here, and in fact that over here Me'ila should no longer apply, because it was an Ola, which now he's bringing as a Chatas and having in mind that it's a Chatas, unlike that case over there, where it's a Chatas, but because that remains a Chatas, it's just having in mind a different thing. Shittim Kubetis also says that Tosfos mentions in Shittim Kubetis, explains that also there's a hekish between all chatos, and therefore the truth is he doesn't actually, so if he shechts one chatas, having in mind, does malika rather, as one type of chatas, having in mind that it's a different type of chatas, then nevertheless it's not necessarily going to be possible, and in fact Me'ila may no longer apply. So in the Gemara tomorrow, Bess Hashem, we'll discuss more of this machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and we're also going to get into an interesting discussion about parts in the Masechta Kinin. Here, tomorrow, Bess Hashem, we're going to be learning Masechta Kinin, which even though it's only Mishnayos, is still printed together with standard Gemaras, and has learned as part of Daf HaYomi, and it has all kinds of cases, it deals with all kinds of cases where Chatzaros and Olos get mixed up, or we try to redesignate from one to the other, and we're going to deal with some of those Mishnayos tomorrow, and deal with some of those mix-ups and some of those cases.